1450 KMAN.
Good morning. Welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, as I am every Wednesday. This is 2 days in a row now you've had me on In Focus. I don't know what we're thinking, but yeah, Dave's shaking his head, arms up in the air. What are you going to do? We're going to talk a lot of schools today. We have USD 383 Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed. We also got school board member Kurt Herman at the last half of the hour today. We'll have Manhattan Christian College President Kevin Ingram. If you want to give us a call, get involved in the conversation, ask him questions, 785-537-1350. You can also check us out, ask a question on Twitter at 1350KMAN. You can ask a question to myself at Brady2Day. And you can also call. I already mentioned the calling. I know why I'm so excited, because I'm going to bring back an old theme. Let's talk some schools. Thought I'd bring it back.
That's better than schools out for the summer.
Not ready for that yet.
Not yet.
Well, again, I'm here with Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Manhattan Ogden USD 383 School Board Member Kurt Herman. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Brady.
All right. Well, we've had some excitement last week. Always big. Got school board, new school board members. Had some elections that had some impact on you guys. I guess some initial thoughts.
Yeah, we welcome three new board members that were elected last week. You know, it was Carla Hagemeister, Jardine Coleman, and Katrina Lewis.
Lewis son, yes.
They're so new that, but it's pretty awesome, you know. I mean, it's a big change. You know, we're actually almost half the board will be changing, but it's always great. I think that these three will be do a great job, and I was particularly impressed because, you know, when you start to run for a school board or a position, you need to come to the meetings, and all three of them have been coming to almost every meeting for at least probably the last 6 months. So I think they're up to speed, and they should be able to hit the ground running.
And, of course, this one's a little different. Usually you don't have this transition in the middle of a school year like this. I guess talk a little bit about that difference and what that'll mean.
Yeah, it's definitely new, different for sure. The time frame between the election and when they take office is shorter than it used to be, between an April and a July. So the transition's a little quicker as far as the orientations, and there's a lot of things they start going to right now. Training on the state level with KSB is always a good idea, and then we always try to give them a district orientation to the decisions they're going to be making, because they're going to come right in, and the second January meeting, I think, is their first official meeting where they're acting on really important things right from the start. So we want to make sure they're understanding what they're doing, and they're a sharp group there. I've been really impressed with them too.
I think a significant difference too is that we'll see how it works out, but I'm sure, because, you know, typically the new board members take their seat July 1st, and the first thing we do on July 1st is work on the budget. And so at least this way, I think they'll get about a 6 month head start on that. Yeah. So I think that should be a huge advantage for understanding the budget process.
When do they take office?
The 17th, January 17th, okay. Is their first official board.
That's the first meeting. I believe they're in line with the legislature, so I believe it's the first Monday or second Monday of the month. I know the second January meeting is their first official meeting. The first January, we'll still have the old board sitting.
All right, and also some other things from last Tuesday. Had some sales tax questions that were passed, and I know that has a lot to do with USD 383 and some of the schools.
Yeah, definitely the city sales tax initiative for the outdoor spaces at Seco Park, gym spaces at Anthony and Eisenhower. We've been a partner in that, in the trails as well. The trails are a factor that affect our school buildings too. If people don't realize that some of the walking paths our kids take to school are those trails that they're going to connect, so we're really happy about that.
Yeah, and I think adding those gyms at the middle schools is going to help us a lot. We've been needing more space there for gyms or for classes and for PE classes for quite a few years. And in fact, the bond issue we did 7-8 years ago, it was in there originally, but we took it out because it was about $1 million each. So that's really going to help us out adding those gyms.
And that indoor gym space that will be open to the public as well. Is that right? Or is this going to be specific?
After hours, yeah. The school will have use of it during the school day, and then the city takes over after that and on the weekend. So I think there's going to be a lot more public access than we have right now anyway.
Yeah. And the city will they'll manage the building. They'll maintain it. They'll keep it, you know, clean it, pay for the utilities and everything. So
you're both saying awesome. That after school hours, I can make sure my basketball's proper inflation, go over there and work on my hoops.
That's right. Up to the city how they do that, but I understand right. There's going to be a lot more public access than we currently have.
Okay, I'll talk to Ron Fear about that.
He'd be a better one to answer those questions.
And the current plan, because I know it came up during the sales tax initiative, a lot of people kept asking about, well, you know, how's the city going to pay for that? And you know, but they're not right now. I know the initial, I'm on the Parks and Rec board also. The initial plan right now is not to charge the public for use of those gyms and evenings.
Because it seems like that was kind of a, I would like to think, probably a big reason why I passed in the first place, because there's been that lack of Parks and Rec indoor gym space in Manhattan. This seemed to be kind of a win-win for both the district and the public in that respect.
Well, Well, most of the Parks and Rec indoor gym spaces are our gyms at our schools.
Right, but this seems like it's more open to public use with these new gyms, or am I just thinking about it wrong?
No, yes. You're right, yeah.
Okay, good.
You're right.
As you can tell, I really want to practice those hoops. I could get a good shot when I get some reps. It's all about reps.
Well, you got no excuses now, Brady.
Exactly.
After the several years when they get built up.
Exactly, and if Coach Weber's listening, I think I still I graduated, but I have plenty of eligibility left, I like to think. So.
Dave, talk to him about that, so.
Yeah, we could work something out on the schedule.
No, we can't.
Okay. No, I got that nipped in the bud.
I have a fine time calling all the players at the games, and I don't want to have to call you out.
Oh, what would that sound like, though, if you had to?
To introduce Brady Bowman?
Or if I hit a three?
Look, he'd be speechless, probably.
I think a lot of people would be.
I would be. My heart may have stopped.
Brady Bowman here with Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Manhattan School Board member Kurt Herman. And what did the election say to you gentlemen about the thoughts of the public and the voters overall? Because it wasn't just the sales tax question that got passed. I mean, everything passed in the region. A lot of the other school bonds passed. Well, what did that tell you guys?
Well, the school bonds in the area, you know, Rock Creek passed their bond, Randolph passed their bond issue as well in our area. And knowing the administrators from there and being through that before, we know how much work that takes. So anytime education's taking a step forward in your area, you're happy for them, and you're happy for them students, because it's not just about what's best for the 383 students, but we want all students in the state of Kansas to have a great opportunity. And I love seeing that happen when other communities can go forward too.
You know, and I think it shows that, you know, the communities do support education, and that's why those all passed, I'm sure. But and also too, I think it shows that the voters are educated, and I think that the bond issues that were presented were, you know, the information was presented well to the communities, and that's why they voted for it.
And Junction City, they're getting a new
high Junction school. Yeah, Junction City, too. I forgot about that. Yeah, they're new high school out of that, and that's one well needed if you've been to their facility they currently operate in.
Were either of you surprised with not just that everything like that passed, but how overwhelmingly those issues passed?
You know, our communities around this area are so supportive, and they're engaged in what's going on. So it's something that doesn't shock me. It makes me proud to be a good Kansan when I see that happening in these communities.
I agree. Yeah. If the bond issue is done correctly, I think, like I say, the communities generally support them.
All right. Let's go ahead and take our first break of the hour. It's about that time. We'll come back and we'll talk more about schools with Kurt Herman and Eric Reed right here on News Radio KMAN.